Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
All right, good. I'm the only one. Hey there, everybody. All right, so I drew the short straw, and I'm doing the introduction today. And so here we go. It's going to be really long and laborious. I need y'all to listen. If you're listening, touch your nose. If you're listening, pat your head. If you're listening, listen. All right, so let's pray. And don't touch your face. Gosh, y'all be listening, knowing stuff. Come on. All right, so let's pray and get us started off this morning. Let's bow our heads and pray. God, I thank you so much for all that you've done for us. I thank you for all that you're continuing to do. Lord, I thank you for the promise of Emmanuel, that you're with us. God, I thank you for the promise that you'll be with us always. I thank you that we can come to you just as we are, and with no presuppositions, no make-believe, we can come to you and be genuine. And God, to know that you loved us while we were yet sinners, you loved us. Lord, today as we sing your praises, God, we listen to your word preached. I just ask that you just make yourself real to us this morning. God, that we are so thankful to be able to come in and gather together, but we don't get so excited about gathering with each other that we lose that it's gathering around you and being in your presence. This was exciting. Thank you so much for all you've done. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, let's read us some scripture to get started this morning. Or not. All right, so I'm going to read some scripture to get us started this morning. Psalm 51, verse 2 says, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Psalm 51, verse 7, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Y'all, it is good news that we can come and we can praise the Lord. It's good news that we can stand before him and not have to try to get clean, because we can't get clean outside of him. But that we can come and we can stand before him and praise him, because he is the God who cleans us up and meets us where we are. Let's stand together and worship this morning. Isn't it good to know that we've got a room in our Father's house? Y'all, there's so many folks in this world who have so many opinions on who you are and what you ought to be. But I'm here to tell you, it matters more what the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that our adopted Heavenly Father, says about us than anything anybody in this world can say, the best or the worst. Y'all, we have the awesome privilege every Sunday morning to come and celebrate Easter. Y'all like Easter? What's the big deal about Easter? Christ is risen. Y'all, I think so many times, the first people that Jesus said that to, he says, you know, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going there to prepare a place for you. The people who he said that to, he told he was going to die, and they didn't believe. He told that he was going to raise again, and they didn't believe. And so after they buried him, they're sitting there, they're afraid, they're in the upper room, they're terrified, they don't know what's going on, and it never registered to them, you know what, maybe he did what he said he did. But I love the words that the angel had, and these are the words that stick in my mind when I think about my Father's house, where he's prepared a room for me. As the angel said, he is not here, he is risen, as he said. Y'all, we don't need to look for him to be in where we want him to be. He's where he's supposed to be, seated at the right hand of the Father, living and active today. Amen? And so we're going to sing, we're going to praise him this morning. There's a reason why the curse of sin is broken. There's a reason why the darkness runs from light. There's a reason why we're standing now forgiven. Jesus is alive. There's a reason why we're not overtaken. There's a reason why we are not overtaken. There's a reason why we sing on through the night. There's a reason why our hope remains eternal. Jesus is alive. Praise the King, he is risen. Praise the King, he is risen. Praise the King, he's alive. y'all may be wondering why I'm standing up here and John is sitting over there. Well, me too.
Ain't no church on earth yet.
Oh, John said since it was your birthday this week, I'm going to let you preach Sunday. But that wasn't it either, actually. We gave him the week off, and he couldn't stay away the whole week. He had to come back. I'm going to share with you this morning, ask a question, really. What is grace? What is grace? Actually, we've been singing about it. What is grace? If you want to open your Bible, if you have one, you'd like to turn somewhere in your Bible this morning, go over to Acts chapter 20 and verse 22. We're going to read those few verses, through verse 25, I believe. And we're not going to be there very long. It's just going to set a background for what we're going to be talking about. It actually poses that question. It doesn't ask the question, but what it says, it poses the question, what is grace? Before we get to that, though, y'all can work with me this morning as we begin. There's some phrases here in America that we're used and accustomed to, and they go something like this. Y'all fill in the last words. We make money the old-fashioned way. We earn it. See, y'all knew those, right? There is no such thing as a free lunch. All right. Either way, there's no pain without, no gain without what?
I just gave away
pain. Yeah, absolutely. God helps those who help themselves. And that's not scriptural, is it? No, it is not. You know, everything about this American way of life, it teaches us that we get what we work for. We get what we pay for. We value work and sweat and performance. And it's called the American work ethic. And it's a good thing. It's a great thing. It's actually helped this country become what it is. But there is a problem. When it comes to relating to God, because God doesn't relate to us based on our performance. The Bible says that everything, that every blessing we receive in our lives comes from Him. They all come by grace. It's a free gift. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You don't work for it. It's a free gift from God. You may be saying, now, wait a minute, brother. The things I have, I worked for them. I earned them. And you did. You did good. That's fine. You did. But let a minute. Let me tell you something. There's a movie. It's called Shenandoah. Y'all seen that movie? It's an old movie. Been around for years.
Jimmy Stewart.
Jimmy Stewart played a widower who didn't have much relationship with God, but he promised his wife that he would raise his family properly. And that means they had to go to church every Sunday. They had to say grace at every meal. Well, here's his blessing at supper time. Lord, we cleared this land. We plowed the fields. We planted and harvested the crops. And we prepared this food. If we hadn't done it, we wouldn't be here eating it. But we thank you anyway. But let me tell you something this morning. If God didn't give it, we wouldn't even make the effort. We wouldn't have the know-how. We wouldn't have the energy. Everything is by His grace. Every breath we take is a gift from God. The Bible is very clear about this. God saves us by grace. He blesses us by grace. He teaches us by grace. He uses us by grace. God keeps us saved by grace. God takes us to heaven by grace. Everything in your life that is good comes from God. 1 Corinthians 15 and 10 says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Whatever you are, everything you are, that is from God. It's just grace. John 1 and 16 says, from the fullness of His grace, we have all received one blessing after another. It all comes from God. You know, someone said that grace was God's best idea.
I agree with that. It was his best idea. Do y'all know what the essentials of life are? I mean, these are things I'm talking about that you need to really, really live. First of all, you need power to live on. You need people to live with. You need principles to live by. You need a plan to live out. And you need a purpose for your life. These are life's essentials. And if any one of these are missing, you're not really living. You're existing. You're getting by. And all of these are gifts of grace. You don't earn the power to live on. God gives it to you. You don't earn the right to have the right people in your life. God gives them to you. You don't deserve a purpose to live for or a plan to live out. They are all gracious gifts of God. This is not part of my sermon. It's keep ringing in my head. I can't get rid of it. Keith, God has a plan for your life. That's not what my message was today, but God, it's all in what I'm saying, that God has a plan for your life. And it comes out of Ephesians 2 and 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which He planned beforehand, that we should live our life doing them. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. He planned it before you were even here. I had to say that. I couldn't let it go. I couldn't let it go. All these are gifts. Power to live on, God gives you that. The right people, God gives you those. All those things, a plan for your life. It's all gracious gifts through God from His grace. Now we're to Acts 20, 22, where I mentioned earlier. This is Paul. He's on his way to Jerusalem. And he said, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given me." Now listen to me. "The task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." That's the task of testifying to God's grace. And the question that raises from that is, what is God's grace? Most of you, many of you, you think you know what it is. God's riches at Christ's expense. Unmerited favor. We know those things. I know it. It's a gift to me. I don't work my way into heaven. It's a gift to me. You know, we have this head knowledge. We know about it, but we don't really understand grace. We constantly live our life trying to please God. Think, boy, He's really ticked off at me about what I did yesterday. Or God is this unpleasable parent who is always looking at you and saying, "This is not good enough. Can't you do any better than that with your life? Get your act together." We have this constant sense of condemnation. We just don't understand God. Maybe you think He's always angry at you. You don't understand grace. Understand grace. Grace is like this multifaceted diamond. It's got many shapes and sizes in it. There's no one definition that adequately describes it. Grace is God's love in action. Grace is when God gives me what I need, not what I deserve. Grace is anything that I'm desperately in need of and that I can never repay God, but He gives it to me anyway. Grace is the face that God puts on when He looks at my failures and my faults and my mistakes. I know many people are confused with grace with mercy, but they're two different things. Mercy is when God does not give you what you deserve. That's mercy. Grace is when God gives me what I do not deserve. Today, I want you to understand grace. I want you to feel it. To really feel it. Maybe for the first time in your life to feel this unconditional grace of God. Well, I'm going to use an acrostic, using grace as an acrostic, to help us to remember that. I heard a story about a professor at Yale who was asked to speak to the student body, and he decided that he would talk about what a Yale student is. And so he broke this Yale down and he talked about youth and attitude and loyalty and enthusiasm, which was a pretty good outline for what he was going to speak about. The problem was he spent 30 minutes on each one of those letters. And when he was through, he walked down to the front row and asked one of the students there, "What do you think of my lecture and my acrostic?" And the kid looked at him, "What do you believe?" The kid looked at him. He said, "Well, I'm just glad I didn't go to the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. But if he'd been real smart, they call it MIT, which is only three letters. He would have gotten by better than that." But the point is I promise you that these 5 points, grace, are not going to take that long. We may not beat the Methodists the rest of us. Are they open yet? No, I don't know. Anyway, so we're going to try to get a real understanding of grace by using grace in an acrostic form. So the G in grace stands for God's gift to me. It's God's gift to me. It is a total gift of God. You know, if you were to ask 10 people, how do you get to heaven? Most of the time you get a same or similar answer. You know, you do your best to be sincere. You try to do as many good things you can and not many bad things. Maybe God grades on this curve, you know. If you do enough good things and more good things than bad things, that you'll be okay. And he'll say, "Come on in, buddy, my friend." And that's the way most of the world thinks. Most of us think we're pretty good, don't we? I do. I'm a pretty good guy. I do that. At least we're good enough to go to heaven, we think. But also, we're bad enough to have a little fun. You know what I mean? Yeah. But here's the problem. There is not a snowball's chance in hell that you're going to get to heaven by anything you do. Yeah. No works, nothing. You can't be good enough to go to heaven. There's no way you're going to ever earn your way into heaven. Get this stuck in your brain. You are not. You can't do it. You're not good enough. It's just not going to happen. The Bible says there's only one way. There's only one way to get into heaven. And it's a gift from God. By God's grace, you are saved. You can never earn it. You will never be able to buy it. You'll never work your way into heaven. You don't deserve it. It's or get enough brownie points or earn enough credits to get into heaven. There's only one way to get into heaven, and that is by accepting God's free gift of grace. Ephesians 2:8-9 say, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It is a gift of God." Billy Graham was telling a story. He was driving through a small southern town and he got stopped for speeding. And he was guilty. He said he was. The officer said, "Well, you got to go to court." So he did. And the judge said, "Are you guilty or not guilty?" And Billy Graham says, "I'm guilty." And the judge says, "Well, there will be a $10 fine. You rode 10 miles over the speed limit. That's $1 for every mile over the speed limit you're in." And then suddenly he recognized who this guy was he was talking to, this famous minister. And he said to him, says, "Now, Billy, you have violated the law, and the fine must be paid, but I am going to pay it for you." So he took a $10 bill out of his wallet, attached it to the ticket, and passed it on, and took Billy Graham out and bought him a steak dinner. And Billy Graham says, "This is how God treats repentant sinners." Romans 11:6 says, "It is by grace. It is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace." That just means it is God's gift and it's a free gift to you and to me. That is, if we accept it. This is the fundamental difference between Christianity and other religions. If you study your world religion, you'll find out that there's one word that can summarize all the world religion. There's only two letters. And it's D-O, do. Do. You've got to earn your way to God. Every religion has a different set of rules, but you have to do every one of them to get into heaven. You've got to earn your way into heaven. And that is in a stark contrast to what the Bible says. The Bible says that the way you get into heaven is by accepting what's already been done for you. Who did it? Jesus Christ did it. Jesus did it 2,000 years ago. That's on that cross. You know, that's the way to get into heaven. If you summarize Christianity in one word, a good word would be done. D-O-N-E, done. It's already been done for you. Do versus done. I like the done part myself. Jesus did it all. That's the difference. And it's a free gift, folks. You just accept it. C Someone asked me one time, says, what you got to do to be saved, brother? And I said, you're too late. I was kidding, actually. I was kidding, but he was a little bit shocked with the answer I gave. By the way, this is a good way to witness to somebody. He said, what do you mean it's too late? And I just told him, well, what needed to be done was done 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ died on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. There's nothing else you can do to get into heaven. God's grace through his gift is the only way. In Romans 3:24, it said, but by the free gift of God's grace, all are put right with him through Christ Jesus, who sets them free. This is the best gift that's ever been offered to you, or to me, or to the world. You might get a Rolls Royce, or you might win the lottery, but the free gift, this free gift, is priceless. It is absolutely priceless from Jesus Christ, and it goes on for eternity. Okay, the R in grace stands for received. Received by faith. Grace is received by faith. You don't earn it, you don't work for it, you don't deserve it, and you don't do a bunch of things to get it. Taking communion won't get it. Being baptized won't get it. Grace is received by faith. Ephesians 2:8-9. I shared this verse with you a little earlier. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Even faith comes from God. Can you imagine getting into heaven and you, by working your way in, and you get up there and everybody is trying to tell you how they got there? It's a funny place to be in, wouldn't it? But it's all God's grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is a free gift. Romans 4:16 says, so the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift. Salvation, folks, is not based on my or your performance. It's based on God's promise. It's not based on my merit. It's based on God's mercy. It's not based on my goodness. It's based on God's grace. The Bible is just full of stories illustrating God's grace. There's the story about the Good Samaritan that helps a man who was beaten and robbed and left on the side of the road. There's no way that person that he helped could ever repay what was done for him on the side of the road. There's a story about the prostitute who helps a man who's beaten, robbed, and helps a woman, a prostitute. I'll get it right in a minute. He defended her publicly, right? He forgave her and defended her publicly. Did she deserve it? Absolutely not. What was Jesus doing? He was showing grace. One of the most famous stories, and y'all know this one, this is the story of the prodigal son, the father of the two sons, and one day the young one said, I'm splitting. I want my half of the inheritance, and I'm leaving this place. So he takes his half of the inheritance, and he goes off to a foreign country there, and he wastes it on wine, women, and song, or whatever he did. Anyway, he blew it all. It was all gone. He was out of money, out of luck, and he ends up feeding the pigs. He's destitute, broke, busted, flat on his back and thinking, what am I going to do? I know I blew it. It's all my fault. And listen, he remembered that the people that worked as servants for his dad was living better than he was. So he said to himself, I'm going to go back home. He rehearsed this thing in his mind. He said, Dad, I blew it. I admit it. I wasted my inheritance. I don't deserve to be called your son. Just hire me as your servant, and I'll work for you the rest of my life so I can live at least as well as the servants in your household. But the Bible says the father was loving and gracious. When he saw his son coming, he ran out to meet him. He threw his arms around him. He put his robe on him. He doesn't say, repay me. Clean up your act. Get a bath.
He doesn't scold me. He doesn't lecture him. He doesn't preach him a sermon. He just hugs him. He says, bring me the best robe. Put a ring on his finger. Kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a barbecue, brother. We're going to have a party. My lost son has been found. Wow. That's how God responds to us when we come to Him, when we come home. Did you know that the Bible says that angels in heaven have a party every time one person comes to Jesus Christ? They do. Wow. Saved people have a reason to have a party. Why? Because these three big issues have been solved in your life. All your sins have been forgiven. You have a purpose for living, and you have an eternal home in heaven. If you haven't accepted the grace of God, you don't have any reason to celebrate. The fact is, you have some serious issues in your past and your present and your future, and you feel guilty about your past and pressured about your present and worried about your future, and you wonder why you're not happy. But when by faith you receive God's grace, all of these issues are settled, and Christians of all people ought to know how to party. Right, Tanya? Yeah, they do. They do know how to party. Yeah. Grace is received by faith. All right, the A in grace is available to everyone. Available to everyone. Grace is available to everyone. Get that in your mind. God doesn't play any favorites, regardless of your status, your background, regardless of the sins that you've committed in your life. God loves you unconditionally. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, God loves you. God's grace is available to everyone. And there's one verse in the Bible that says it a whole lot better than I can, and that's John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world." So loved. This is how much He loved the world. He gave His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. "And whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Jesus said, "Whosoever believes shall not perish." That is good news. It's for all who come to God by grace, through faith, through His Son, Jesus Christ. It's available to everyone. Romans 10:13 says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Does that mean fat people and skinny people? Yes, yes it does. Right, John?
Yes.
Right. I tell you what. I've been trying to figure out how I could get back at him. He's always picking on me. If I'd planned ahead and knew he was going to be here, I would have got you. And does that include rich and poor people? Yes, it does. It doesn't matter. Every ethnic background, yes. It means everybody. Grace is available to everybody. I don't know everyone who's here today. Some of you might be here at Christ Community for the first time today. In fact, some of you might be in church for the very first time. Well, if you are, you can pick a good week to come to church, because God's grace is just available to a first-timer as it is to someone who's been to church every day all their lives. It don't make any difference. It's available to everyone. You cannot understand what it means to have a relationship with God without understanding grace. Boy, it's the heart of Christianity. No matter what you've done, no matter who you are, God's grace is available to you. The C in grace, it comes through Christ. It comes through Christ. There's only one place it's available, and that is in Jesus Christ. Acts 15:12 says, "We believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved." Why does grace only come through Christ? First of all, because He's the only one qualified. He's the perfect Lamb of God, and He is the one who paid for it. Grace is free, but it is not cheap, folks. Somebody had to pay for it, and that cost Jesus Christ His life. That's how expensive your ticket to heaven is. Jesus gave His life. God gave His own Son. That's how much He loves us. If you went home today and found a gift sitting on your porch, it's free to you. I mean, but somewhere, somehow, somebody paid for it. You probably did, actually. Your gift of forgiveness, your salvation, your gift of eternal life, somebody had to pay for it, and Jesus Christ did that for you. Why? Simply because He loves you. Because He loves you. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrated His love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Over in Romans 5:15, it says, "Many people have received God's gift of life by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ." There's a phrase in the Bible that people who have accepted God's grace use, and it says it is this phrase, in Christ. This phrase is used over 100 times in the Scriptures. But what does it mean? Let me give you an example of it. As I go through life, I make a lot of mistakes. Really, I do. I have some habits that mess up my life. I do all kind of dumb, stupid things. And they mess up my life. And my life turns into this great, big mess. Well, the Bible says, when I come to God, and I say, God, I want to accept you as my Savior through your Son, Jesus Christ, God takes my messed up life, and He puts me in Christ. And the Bible says that I am hidden in Christ. When I am in Christ and you are in Christ, God doesn't see the scars of our past and our past life. He doesn't see my problems or my imperfections. All He can see is Christ. That's what He sees, folks. Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. That means that the guilt for all the sins are removed and you're no longer condemned. When you accept God's grace, you're in Christ. And when God looks at you, all He sees is the perfection of Christ. Jesus Christ has already paid for all of our sins. That's why God doesn't punish us Christians. All the punishment was taken by Jesus Christ on that cross about 2,000 plus years ago. So when I blow it, and I do, but when I blow it, I don't say, oh God, I know you're really ticked off at me today. If I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I should be saying, God, I know your grace forgives me for what I did today, and I need your grace to change me so I won't do it again. In 2 Peter 1:3, we find this. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. There is only one way to receive God's grace. Get to know Jesus Christ and invite Him into your life. I don't know if I can say this clearly or any clearer than I'm going to say it to you today right now. There is nothing that you could possibly do that will ever make God love you more than He loves you right now. And there's nothing you could possibly do to make God love you less than He loves you right now. Why? Because His love is not based on your performance, folks. It's based on His promise. Not on your goodness, but on His grace. There's a 3 or 4 verses over in Lamentations, the Old Testament, chapter 3. Listen. Yet there is one ray of hope. His compassion never ends. It is only the Lord's mercies that have kept us from complete destruction. Great is His faithfulness. His loving kindness begins afresh each day. My soul claims the Lord as my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in Him. Where is your hope this morning? Are you seeking the Lord today? Do you want this grace that I've been trying to share with you in your life today? What are you most ashamed of? What is that secret sin you have that you hope nobody ever finds out about? It probably came to your mind when I started to ask the question. Some of you might be caught up in some sort of lifestyle. You can't go on with it, but you can't get out of it either. That's what the grace of God is for. There's no therapy in the world, no pill, no book, no seminar that can change your life like the grace of God. And we need it. God wants to take that thing that's in your life that you're most ashamed of, and He wants to forgive you, to wipe it out, wipe it away, wipe it out of your life, wash it away, and give you a fresh start. You don't have to be the same anymore. You can start over with a new life and a new look and a new love. It's all from the Lord, and it's available not by working for it. It's a gift of God if you will accept it. Grace comes through Christ Jesus. And last but not least, the E in grace. Extended through eternity. Extended through eternity. Romans 6 and 23 said the wages of sin is death. That's the bad news. The good news is the rest of the verse. The free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal. Eternal. The gift of God lasts forever. Grace is a gift that keeps on giving. When you get to know Jesus Christ and His grace and love, it gets better and better and better and better. And thank you, Jesus. It's available and extended throughout eternity. And the best is yet to come. Awesome. Think of the promises God has for us. There was a pastor who was telling his congregation about an experience that he had had that almost killed him that very afternoon. And in his desire to give God credit for protecting him, he did like I do, say stupid things. Anyway, he made this rather inadequate sort of attempt to give God credit for saving him. And this is what he said: "If it weren't for the grace of God, I'd be in heaven right now." Well, listen to me. If it weren't for the grace of God, we wouldn't even have a chance to be in heaven. Speaking of that gift on your porch, if you went home and found that gift and you left it there, unwrapped and opened, I'm going to tell you, that's pretty dumb. It is pretty dumb. A gift is worthless unless you actually accept it. You must accept God's grace through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the gift offered to all of us. I don't know Peter Drucker. Maybe some of you do. Maybe some of you business folks know it. But it said he was a genius. His IQ was off the chart. And he was called the father of American management. And he wrote his first book of management some probably 50 years ago. And his books have been studied out in all the business schools and universities throughout America and the world. And in his writings, he posed five fundamental questions that are critical to every organization, no matter what the organization is about. And these are the five. He said, what is our mission? Who is our customer? What does the customer value? What have been our results? And what is our plan? I mean, these are questions, folks, that we can apply individually or to our organization, to our lives. But anyway, he knows a little bit about everything. And when they ask him, he says, how did you finally become a Christian? Here's what he said. When I finally understood grace, I realized that I was never going to get a better deal than this. When I understood grace, I realized I was never going to get a better deal than this. And folks, you don't have to be a genius to figure out that this grace is a good deal. In fact, it is a great deal. That's grace. Grace. You know, I have trouble understanding people. Everything that you need in this life is offered to you free. And to me, all of us, free. And some say, no, I don't think so. I think I'll just hold on to my guilt and my sin and my shame and go to hell. That's what you're saying when you reject Jesus Christ. That's what you're saying when you reject Him. Isaiah 30 and 18 says, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. He's waiting for us to accept His gift. He enjoys being gracious. He's not mad at you. He's not sitting there ready to scold you. He won't reject you. That's a promise. He's saying, come to me. Come home. If you're still struggling with sin in your life this morning, if you still have a sin in your life that you can't get rid of, listen, you can get rid of it today, right now. You can walk out of this place with a clear conscience, a new man or a new woman. So when you accept Jesus Christ in your life, you become a new creation, a new person. All that past is gone, forgotten by God. It's all gone. So why don't you do that today? Why don't you accept His grace? Here's how you do it. Romans 10:9. We like this verse. We like it. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with the mouth that you confess and are saved. Verse 13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The band's going to come and they're going to play, I think, Just As I Am, aren't they? No? Change your music. You sent that out and you changed your music. Anyway, they're not going to play it, but that's the only way you can come to Jesus. Just exactly like you are. You can't get yourself ready. You can't change. You come just as you are with all your warts and whatever's in your life. You come to Jesus. The changing He does. If He don't like where you are, He'll take you where He wants you to be. I'm going to pray for us. And while they play, if the Lord spoke to you this morning, the sensible thing to do is respond to whatever He said to your heart today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your love, grace. Oh, grace. What an awesome gift You've given to us, Lord. We thank You for that, Lord. And help us, God, today to recognize where we are in our relationship with You. Lord, as You may speak to us, and we may be saved, but we need to change. You'll speak to us about that. We may be lost, and You want to save us. All we have to do is to open our heart to You. It's a simple thing. Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive my sins and come into my life and be the Lord of my life. That's all You've got to do. He'll lead you from there. Lord, now we give it into Your hands. Thank You so much for the Word, Lord, as we've shared today. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Oh, God. People say, man, y'all came back early. We left last Sunday afternoon. We got back yesterday afternoon. We took advantage of the opportunity to rest, and we appreciate everybody that was involved in it. This isn't another sermon, but I do want to just share some things. The sermon that Jamie preached at the Foundry and the sermon that LG preached today, like, just lined up. Man, God's wanting to speak to the church, and y'all weren't at the Foundry, so I just want to bring it up. It has to do with this. Y'all seen this on TV a lot lately. Right? Let me tell you, this is a sign of surrender. Church, this is a sign for us. Both messages was, you need to surrender yourself to God. You need to surrender yourself to God for His purpose. You need to surrender yourself to the grace of God for salvation. You need to surrender yourself to God. Y'all, there's a big wake-up call coming for the church. Man, we've had a murderous, crazy, protesting, nasty week. It's a wake-up call for the church. The COVID-19 kicking everybody out ought to be a wake-up call for the church in the United States of America, where the world has said that place is known for democracy, that place is known for freedom, that place is known for justice and righteousness, and all those things have failed. I believe this now. They're looking at the church and saying, will their church fail also? Or will they stand, proclaim a gospel of grace to everyone? I don't know about y'all, but I felt the call to surrender to that, being the real one. Love y'all. Thank you for being here. Thank you for letting me be your pistol. Your pistol. Pastor. There's an offering plate at the back of the room that you want to remind me of. That's what happened. Anyways, y'all pray for me. You know what I'm saying? That's why I wasn't preaching today. That's where my brain is. Anyways, love y'all. Thank you for letting me be your pastor again. Father God, thank you. Thank you for laughing the church house. And Lord, we love you. We're yours. But Father, for those who aren't, right? Like LG already invited, if we're not going to get a better deal anywhere. Your grace is for us. Help us to be submitted and surrendered to your call. Lord, we love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.